But I say to you who are listening, did you know that recent surveys suggest that something along the lines of 66 million people go to church each Sunday in America? 66 million. That's roughly the equivalent to the population of France or the UK. And it's more than the entire population of Italy or Spain or South Africa or South Korea or Colombia or Kenya or even Canada. 66 million. Those same surveys report that something along the lines of 130 million people attend church at least once a month in America. Again, to put that in perspective, that's more than the population of Mexico, Egypt, Germany, Japan. In fact, it's more than the population of all but 9 countries in the entire world. Just think about that for a moment. At least once a month, the group of people gathering together to sing and pray and read scripture in the United States is equivalent to the 10th largest nation in the world. Again, this is just in the U.S. Which means, and here's why I tell you that, which means every single citizen of the 10th largest nation on earth has heard at one point or another in their church going days, perhaps even today, has heard the words we receive in Luke 6 this morning and has presumably professed faith in the one who speaks them. I say to you who are listening, Jesus begins. And then launches into one of the most well-known teachings of his entire ministry. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend without expecting anything in return. Be merciful. Words that are spoken in contemporary America alone to 130 million followers of Christ. And yet, have you ever had one of those moments when you said something that feels fairly straightforward to you, only to find your audience apparently didn't understand you at all? Perhaps your students or your children or a significant other. One of those moments when they're nodding right along with you, perhaps even saying, yeah, right, totally, but clearly not listening to you. Have you ever had one of those moments when you said one thing and 130 million people all seem to have collectively heard something else? Because if so, you are in a perfect position to understand how Christ must feel every time our words from Luke 6 are read in the contemporary American church. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend without expecting anything in return. Be merciful. You know, every once in a while, when my daughter and I are driving home from, say, basketball practice or something like that, she will launch into a story about something or other that happened to her that day. And of course, I'll nod along and, her story all the way throughout. Occasionally, however, while she's in the middle of telling me her story, my mind will begin to drift just a bit. I'll begin thinking about, say, some book I'm reading or podcast I'm listening to or whatever. And to be clear, I'm not proud of these moments. But I do admit they happen occasionally. And when they do, and when Sophia notices it, which, irritatingly, she always does, she will immediately stop, fix her eyes upon me, she gets that from her mother, tilt her head to the side, raise her eyebrows disapprovingly, and say, as if the parent-child roles have been completely reversed, "Dad, I need you to be an active listener here." And I confess, it makes me smile every time because, of course, she's exactly right. Not only is active listening the kind and respectful thing to do, it is the loving thing to do. And even when I'm not always great at it, I'm certainly grateful that she knows that. Now, I have no idea where Sophia first heard that phrase or if she simply came up with it on her own, but either way, when she said it to me once again this week, my mind immediately went to the Jesus of Luke 6, speaking today's gospel to contemporary American Christians. Of course, I quickly stopped thinking about that so I could give my full attention to my daughter in that moment, but the thought stuck with me nonetheless. Every time the 66 or even 130 million American Christians hear Jesus' words in Luke 6 today, I can't help but wonder if Jesus wants to fix his eyes on every one of us, tilt his head to the side, raise his eyebrows, and say, "Christian, I need you to be an active listener here." For as one theologian marvelously observes, Christians in America tend to respond to this passage in the same way my children respond to seeing cooked spinach on their dinner plate. No matter how much I explain its nutritional value, no one at the table wants to dig in. This passage is the cooked spinach of Christian teaching. Just consider, did you know recent surveys in the U.S. indicate that people who identify themselves as Christians are far more likely, for example, to support the death penalty, retributive homicide, than those who identify as non-Christian? Despite the fact that Jesus says today, "Love your enemies, be merciful, forgive." Again, I can hear in my head Jesus saying, "Christian, I need you to be an active listener here." That same survey also reveals that American Christians are far more likely to, one, support engagement in foreign wars than non-Christians, and two, claim that a person is unpatriotic if they don't support them. Despite Luke 6, "Christian," I can hear Jesus saying, "I need you to be an active listener here." But the twist is, we American believers think we already are. Unlike the dad whose mind drifts during his daughter's stories, we hear Luke 6 and we all say together, "The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And that, it seems to me at least, is actually worse than not listening at all. We have perfected the art of pretending to listen while actually ignoring the very word of God. And it goes something like this. Step one. When Jesus offers challenging teachings, as he clearly does in Luke 6, begin by calling it hyperbole. You'd be surprised at how absolutely effective this is for pretending to listen but actually ignoring. Just call it exaggeration when Jesus says, for example, lend without expecting in return. He's exaggerating to make a point. As soon as you do, as soon as you label it hyperbole or exaggeration, you will hear nervous Christians all around you breathe out a sigh of relief. Whew! For a moment there, I thought we might have to actually have to redistribute wealth or something to follow Jesus. Hyperbole makes way more sense to me. Step two. When Jesus says things like, do good to those who hate you, tell yourself, Jesus really only meant that word for individuals, not for whole churches or cities or nations, certainly not for politics. Tell yourself, these words were meant merely for our private lives, our personal lives, not for real life. Instructions say for how to deal with your annoying little sister or your irritating uncle, not how to go about dealing with actual enemies. And now we're on a roll. Step three, when he says all of the impractical stuff, like he does today, turn the other cheek, tell yourself that not only is this the sort of radical love that's meant actually just for your private lives, it's meant only for one-to-one relationships. That's what he was talking about. When your irritating uncle with his boisterous blather is bothering you alone, sure, turn the other cheek. But when that same irritating uncle is bothering someone else, well, Jesus' words for the one-to-one relationships no longer apply. When a third party is involved, feel free to step in and kick some butt. Step four, in pretending to listen but actually ignoring the word of God, you should also keep in mind that what Jesus is really talking about today is actually your attitude. Love your enemies, forgive others, bless them, of course, in your heart. Because what Jesus is actually after here is something inward. Now granted, my outward actions may not look like love or blessing or mercy, but that's not what Jesus was talking about anyway. It's all about our inside. And on the inside, we've got nothing but goodwill for one another. I wonder, is any of this so far sounding familiar? Step five, remember this. When it comes to loving your enemies, stopping someone from sinning is in fact the loving thing to do. The means you use to stop them from sinning is beside the point. The loving thing is to stop them from sinning by any means necessary, because it's the result we're after here that's really loving. That's how you love God's honor. And frankly, it's how you love the sinner whose sinning you've just prevented in your violent actions. Step six. Now that we've clarified the inward, personal, attitudinal nature of Jesus' teaching, we must also recall that when Jesus says all this, don't forget he's only talking about our behavior towards other Christians. He's talking to a group of disciples. He's only talking about intra-Christian relationships. None of this applies, of course, to extra-Christian relationships. None of this applies indiscriminately. And here's how you know that. Step seven in the process. Always read Jesus' words in light of all the other words in Scripture. For example, Exodus 21, 23 through 25. You shall give eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn. You shall give wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. And Leviticus 24, 16. One who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be put to death. The whole congregation shall stone the blasphemer. And even Deuteronomy 19:21, show no pity. Again, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Sentiments that must surely mitigate what Jesus is saying to us today, and must surely clarify what he really means. Never mind the fact that Matthew's version of the same teaching deals with those verses explicitly, but we'll ignore that for now. And finally, step 8. In pretending to listen, but actually ignoring the Word of God. Never forget that Jesus spoke the words in Luke 6 that we receive today to people without any power. He was talking to peasants in occupied Palestine who simply had no other options. But now that we are no longer in that position, now that we have control, the same strategies don't really apply. If they did, why would God have given us so much power in the first place? Well, there you have it. How to effectively ignore Jesus' words in 8 simple steps, all while pretending to still be listening. And lest you think I'm exaggerating here or joking about any of these 8 steps, I should say, I pulled every one of these examples straight from published Christian writings. There are 8 ways we American Christians have used to justify our disregard of the plain sense meaning of the passage we receive in Luke 6. Of course, here is the one enormous problem with all of that. Nothing in Jesus' life, ministry, or death makes any sense if he didn't really mean the plain sense of what Luke 6 says he means. Love your enemies, do good, lend without expecting in return, be merciful. His life makes no sense if he didn't mean that for himself and for you and me. And we all know it. All 130 million of us. So perhaps we should add a step 9 to our list this morning, as in fact, we actually already have. The honest reason we are so reluctant to listen to Jesus' teaching today. Namely, because if we did, if 130 million American Christians were actually to commit to what we hear today, we'd immediately find ourselves with a Christianity that stands against nearly everything we are currently supporting or promoting in our world today. Because let me just say, to offer just 2 examples, if Jesus really means what he says in Luke 6, then Christians cannot possibly support the idea of colonizing Gaza. You know, like the Romans did in Jesus' day. If Jesus really means what he says in Luke 6, then Christians cannot possibly stand behind the plan to lend support to Ukraine only if they mortgage their entire economic future to us first. You know, like every despot in history has done to nations in need. Christians, if we are to take Jesus seriously today, couldn't possibly support any of that. Which suggests to me, we American Christians have only two options before us. Continue to hone our remarkable skills at ignoring Jesus, or immediately repent. Of course, if Jesus doesn't really mean what he says today, feel free to disregard all of that. But God help us if he does. I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good, lend without expecting anything in return, and be merciful. Let those with ears to hear actively listen. Amen.